Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to this Forest All Over Phone Show episode, which is a Forest All Over the World series we do semi-regularly. Today we're going to be speaking to Jan, who is the founder of the NFFC Avon Bristol and Bath Supporters Group. He's going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to do a Brighton preview. Unfortunately, there's no Matt today, or fortunately for me, considering the amount of colossal support he had online after the last episode. Anyway, let's get into it. A warm welcome to Jan Stabik. Is it Janusz Stabik or Jan Stabik?
Yeah, Janusz.
Janusz.
Perfect.
Where is it from originally, by the way, Janusz, really quickly?
Polish. Polish.
Polish, brilliant. Okay. Janusz from the NFFC Avon Bristol and Bath Supporters Group. Actually, Jan set up that group. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you. No, to be honest, I think you kind of set it up. In that you were the inspiration. It came. I didn't realize these groups were a thing until I stumbled across your podcast. So it was from seeing all of the other worldwide groups, the Vancouver and the Bahamas groups. I thought there must be more of us down this way. There must be more than just me.
That's amazing. No, I mean, it definitely was you who set it up. I think the fact that you are giving us an acknowledgement saying we're a little bit of inspiration for it is brilliant, because that's what the podcast is all about. It's about promoting and connecting sort of Forest All Over fans. So that's amazing. So when you first set it up, you thought there was only going to be one or two or three of you maybe lurking around somewhere. Am I right in thinking that?
So I've been down. I'm originally from the Midlands, originally from the kind of the ghost town, or the no man's land that is Loughborough, in between Leicester and Nottingham. Moved down to Bristol after university, and have lived down here since 2004, 2005. And for nearly 20 years, I thought I was the only one. I mean, I don't know what it's like in Dublin, but down here in Bristol and Bath, you're lucky if you bump into a football fan, let alone a Forest fan. It's all rugby. You know, it's all rugby. You meet people in the pub, you meet new friends, you go to a dinner party or whatever, and as soon as you say you like the sport with a round ball, you know, it's, you're an outsider already. So I've seldom met Forest fans down here, you know, if at all, until about 10 years ago, when my son started going to school, and one of the dads at the village next door set up a kids football training thing on a Saturday morning, and it turns out he was a Forest fan as well. So there's two of us within a mile, and then as far as I understood, there's nobody else for 160 miles to Nottingham.
That's unbelievable. And I mean, you initially thought there was one fan that you knew through a school from 10 years ago, and then all of a sudden when you set this group up and you initially posted it out on Twitter, and you've recently done a really great flag, was it, what's his name, Alex did that flag?
Alex,
yeah. Big shout out to Alex, who's done a new flag for the Bristol and Bath Supporters Group. So once you posted everything out, your first game that you posted out for a meetup was which football match was that recently, wasn't it?
It was Brentford. Yeah. Well, through me and Dave, my mate Dave lives in the village next door. We thought we might get three or four in the group, and I think I messaged you, and you said that's a group. Three or four of you is a group. I was like, brilliant validation. We'll do it. And we put a tweet out. You know, anybody in the local area, and you know, please retweet if you know a Forest fan. If you're a Forest fan. And really quickly, it turned out there's 15, 16, 17 of us. And it's now, I think it's 40, just what? Under 40, 39. So we're looking for our 40th member. And it's been brilliant. It's been an absolute joy. I mean, the group is basically, it's a WhatsApp group. We tried to get together for televised matches. We went to the Bristol City game. A few was met up for the Bristol City game in the cup a couple of months ago. There's lift sharing that goes on, people changing tickets, like it's thriving. It's been brilliant.
That's unbelievable. And like, obviously having seen all the other groups grow, I mean, I know Simon's out in the Bahamas on his own, and there's another Bermuda Forest fan who's kind of on his own. But I know that there's big groups out in Toronto, Vancouver, New York, Chicago. There's a Serbian one where the gentleman set up a five-a-side football team with players with different Forest jerseys, and they've all kind of become Forest fans over there. It's pretty amazing. The rapidness of how quickly you grew, like to almost 40 members, and then there was a picture of I think about 20 of you met up for the first one, and it just looked amazing. I was just I was really happy and proud of you for going and doing it, and then it the fact that it grew so fast was just brilliant. And what's the pub you do? Where what's the pub like that you do it in? Obviously, there's got to be one home ground. Where is that?
Yeah, so that's in a place called Keynsham, which is between Bristol and Bath. And all of our members are from all over. It's Bristol, Bath, down to Devon, up towards kind of Gloucester. So it's a big old radius. So Keynsham is, you know, in between Bristol and Bath on the train. So that was the convenient place. But we had to phone round a few and just make sure that they're okay with Forest fans turning up to watch matches.
I'm sure there will be extra business, isn't it? I mean, Jesus, like,
they were totally fine, but we just didn't know if we'd be walking into a hardcore Bristol City pub or not and waving the Forest flag. So
during the cup games and stuff as well, they were coming up. Brilliant.
So it's all been great, but the challenge we've got obviously is that the 3 o'clock watershed thing. It's like, we can meet for games that aren't on 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Whereas if you're in Vancouver or Bahamas, you get to watch all the games, you know? So, we can arrange meetups when it's not on a Saturday. And the Sunday match, the Brighton match on Sunday is not on TV, is it? They've moved it because of Brighton's, European game, but it's not being televised, unless, you know, you look through dodgy.
Yeah, you get a stream somewhere from some dodgy. But the funny thing is, when I was first over in Toronto, there was no, it wasn't on Fubo, and it was on DAZN. Fubo and pre that, it was on DAZN. These are two actual channels that televise these games abroad. Even the 3 o'clock kickoffs, which are sort of, I think they're 10 o'clock over there, 5 hours behind. But when it was championship stuff, for the most part there were streams somewhere available that they'd sit us in the back room somewhere, know that we were kind of doing that, and give us the screen and let us connect up, and they didn't mind. So I mean, maybe if someone managed to get a stream somewhere, and you get someone who's tech savvy to help, I'm not saying you're not, but you could get someone who's really into it to maybe help out and get those games, because that would be cool. Because most of them are obviously 3 o'clock. It's very frustrating that they don't show on Sky or BT or whatever. But yeah, speaking of the 3 o'clock game, obviously you wouldn't have met up for last weekend then, because that was a 3 o'clock game, the Liverpool game, right?
Yeah, I went to the game last weekend. Managed to get tickets for the Liverpool game, which was, you know, just a roller coaster of emotion, wasn't it? It was awesome because I got to go with my brother and my sister. It was my sister's first ever Forest game. Did I tell you this? Have I messaged you this?
I think you did message me this, and I'm sorry for asking again. Obviously, the listeners need to hear it, but the real thing is that your sister went to the one thing I remember from the message you sent was even she felt it at the end of the game, all the life getting sucked out of the stadium, and she couldn't believe it. She could feel that raw emotion from injustice and, of course, a late goal.
Yeah, I mean, From start to end, you know, we were briefing her in the car on Mullican Tyre and teaching her the words, and she was kind of rolling her eyes and stuff. And we bought her a scarf and all that. But then when she got, you know, when she got into the stadium, she felt it. She got the camera out to see what all the fuss was about, and then you could see her taken aback when Mullachintyre started being belted out, and she was like, "Oh right, I get it now." So it was awesome. Yeah, it was an awesome experience to be there with them. I probably made 5 or 6 games this season. And as you know, every podcast has done to death over the past couple of weeks, just that sucker punch at the end was, I've never felt that at a game before. I've never felt that level of anger and frustration. It was, you could feel it in the air, you know, it was just sheer disdain and anger and resentment and disbelief. It was horrible. And didn't, I drove back home that evening and couldn't sleep, you know, after a 3.5 hour drive. It was horrible. Powerful, powerful
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah, not a, yeah, it is powerful, isn't it? And the thing is, I think as Forest fans, and we always feel like we're the ones who've had the most the most of those moments over the last sort of 20, 30 years or whatever. I've been a fan for close to 30 years, and I know that I can remember them off the top of my head from, you know, Sheffield United to Yeovil to Swansea to Blackpool. I was at the second Blackpool game with Matt, to, you know, that Stoke game recently, which was a COVID game, of course, but when you're watching it, you kind of feel like it's in slow motion. It's some sort of crazy movie unfolding that you can't believe what's happening before your eyes. And it just feels like there's constant moments like that. Bournemouth last year, Bournemouth this year, and then this, obviously, with the controversy. And in fact, the Bournemouth game this year had controversy in it because Willy Bolly was wrongfully sent off. Do you subscribe to the fact, and I'm not saying there's a conspiracy here, but do you subscribe to sort of my Matt's sort of sense of injustice and how we should be screaming out and how we should be building a narrative and how we should be having a siege mentality to kind of build around us and say, listen, this is getting disgraceful. We're dropping points here. We could go down as a result of this injustice.
As a fan, yes. Do you know what I mean? It's like if we hadn't have had those 4 or 5, and I think it's seven dodgy decisions from refs. I think if we had 6 or 7 apologies from the PGMOL this season, I mean that's not cool. You know, that cost points. That could cost a relegation. That could cost thousands of jobs and, you know, a community in despair because of mistakes that have been made. It's a big old thing. So as a fan, yeah, it's the sense of injustice is massive, and we need to build this siege mentality. How Nuno handles it, I've got no idea. Do you know what I mean? You could see his anger, couldn't you, on the interviews, the post-match interviews, and I think he did pretty well to say anything at all. And then what do you do? Like, how do you walk into the training ground on Monday morning? What's the message? Like, because players play best when they're confident and, you know, light-footed and have freedom and not with heavy emotion. So he's got to get into that training ground and turn them around and get them ready for the next game. So I completely agree with you. You know, from a fan, yes, siege mentality. The fans have got to get, you know, that atmosphere back up there 100% for every game and make it a fortress. And Nuno's he's kind of got to do the opposite. He's got to keep them light-hearted and focused and confident and playing throw football on the break. And so I don't envy him.
No, not at all. And to be fair, you have to have a steely mentality to get through that. And I know that the one thing I will say is, and this I don't, this isn't to undermine how we feel because I've talked about it, and I've and Matt, my co-host, has talked about it, and we've been angry, and everyone's talked about it. But we've got to recognize that, you know, everyone. I've been watching other Premier League games, and these things do happen. Maybe not as regularly, but they do happen to other teams. I remember Liverpool at the start of the season lost to Spurs, and I think Diaz had a clear goal that wasn't offside, and they literally just messed up the communication between VAR and the referee. The other day, Luton lost late, so they had another gut punch at home to Villa. I've seen Wolves at the start of the season. I mean, it felt like it was every single game that they were getting screwed over for the first 7 or 8 games, and Gary O'Neill spoke about it. But there isn't a lot you can do. And I think that the only thing we can do is look forward now and become that away team that I was talking about in the last episode, where we have to like go into games and say, no, forget the home form, because we've got 4 home games and then one Man City game. I'm not saying we're going to lose to Man City, but that's going to be very difficult to win when they're going for the title. And we've got six away games, and we've got to make the most of them. In terms of how you feel away from home, going away to this Brighton game now at the weekend, we can get something, can't we? I know Brighton are off form, but they are a good team. But Forest do have to really go in and just absolutely go for it. Almost play ping pong, and if we concede, whatever, we got to keep going and try and win this game, because we need 3 points now every single game.
I totally agree. Compare us, like, I've got proper hope now. You know, I think this time last year, it was hope with our fingers crossed. It was like, I hope we can get something from this, but I couldn't really see a pattern of play. We had grit and determination and a solid defence, and we broke on the counter, but if it would be two people pushing forward, it'd be Gibbs White and a one you pushing forward. But you can see the improvements in the team. You can see a pattern of play. You can see a method. You can see that everybody knows their roles. We're good at scoring goals, and we're looking pretty solid. So I've never felt more positive, and I'm pretty, objective about this stuff. Like, you'd have asked me 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think I'd have maybe said something differently, but I think we can absolutely get something. They've got a few players out injured. Why not? You've asked me about a score prediction for this game, and I wrote down 2 or 3 nil to us. Like, I think we'll come out of that game at the weekend, and I think we'll it'll be a Newcastle type result. I think we've been playing well, we're looking pretty solid, we're scoring goals, and if they needed any more reason, if the players needed any more reason to go out and stick it to them, then it was, you know, the injustice of Saturday. So I think it'll be a cracker.
That's incredibly confident of you, and I love your confidence. I mean, I suppose we do have to remember Luton beat Brighton at home a few weeks ago 4-0, and then lost the next four games in a row. Brighton have Roma on Thursday, which is tomorrow, and then they have Roma again not long after that. They're going to be looking to beat us. The problem I have is, I suppose, is this pessimistic head on me, is I remember when Brighton were there for the taking with all their injuries when we played them at home, and we lost 3-2. And they went down to 10 men with 10 minutes to go. We scored the penalty, couldn't really make a count. And that's, look, that's a long time ago. That's pre-Nuno and pre this new identity that we have. But yeah, I mean, listen, if we could win 1-0 and the ball accidentally hits off the referee and goes in and we get it our way, I'd be delighted. I don't care at all. So yeah, I do look forward to it. Does anything concern you about Brighton? And I know that they're off form right now, but they do have that bit of depth. I think Nciso is back for them. Matoma might be out for this weekend, but in general, it just seems like Lewis Dunk marshals the defence so well. And I don't know, I feel like that they're going to be looking for blood now this weekend after their poor form.
I just don't think they're the team that they were. McAllister's gone.
Casado's gone as well, and he was...
Casado's gone.
Yeah.
March is out. I think Matoma's out till the end of the season. And they're just one of those teams that's got a big loss in them. You know, they can win a game 4-0 or 4-1, and they can lose a game 4-0, you know. And if, you know, big if Nuno gets his tactics right, yeah, absolutely. I feel really, really confident. I'm a bit devastated. It's Mother's Day on Sunday, and I'm going to be watching the game with, you know, half an eye on the roast in the cooker, and
that's okay. Yeah, you've reminded me about Mother's Day actually, but I'm going to be in Brighton either way. The tickets are somewhere in transit, and well, they may or may not come in, but either way, I'm going to be there. So it'll be interesting to see how I handle it if I don't get to the game, or either way. But yeah,
what are you thinking? How are you feeling about it?
It's one of those things I just don't know. Like the trouble I'm having is, I'm looking at the performances and I'm impressed by them, but I'm looking at the results and we've won one game in 7 Premier League games. I'm just really hopeful that we just go for it. And, you know, I don't think we're favourites to win this game. I really don't. I think Brighton are favourites to win at home against us. They're a top half the table team. We're a lower half the table team. And I think we just need to, you know, put that in our back, get that chip on our shoulder. And the fans are going to be unbelievable on Sunday regardless. Our way fans always are, so that'll give us a lift. Brighton Stadium, their fans are alright, but they're nothing compared to our fans, and I think we have a chance. I predict we'll win 3-2. Believe it or not, 3-2. We'll come out on the right side of a 3-2 result. I think we're just going to like go for it. And, I hope that we sucker punch them early in the game. So, yeah, I predict a 3-2 win to Forest. But yeah, so you're obviously, you have your Mother's Day going on, and all the Bristol and Bath fans are in a WhatsApp group, I imagine, of some sort. Or
yes.
A setup.
Yeah, it's a big old WhatsApp group. It's really active. I think a couple of them are meeting up for the game.
Brilliant.
A couple of them are going, actually. A couple of them are lift sharing and going to the game as well. So there's a lot of... I think the chat on the group's pretty positive as well, actually. The chat on the group's pretty positive about the game. So I think the emotion of the weekend died down, I think, when Sheffield United got absolutely hammered. I think that kind of gave us a bit of a slap around the face and woke us up a bit.
Yeah, well, that just shows you we're not that bad, which is great. And, you know, talk about a sliding doors moment. Sheffield United and us in a semi-final, which was very evenly matched, only... 2 years ago, and Morgan Gibbs-White was playing for them, and now all of a sudden we're fighting for our lives in the Premier League, but we look decent, and they've come up and they look absolutely dreadful. Not as dreadful as Derby in 2008, though. That's it. I think we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for joining us, Jan. I'm really happy that the group is thriving, and yeah, I wish you all the best, and I appreciate you coming on and filling in on this sort of Forest All Over phone show Wednesday, Thursday for the preview for the Brighton game.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. If there's anyone listening down this way, Bristol, Bath, Somerset, Wiltshire, at NFFC Avon on Twitter, get in touch. We'd love to have break that 40 member mark if possible.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Thanks a million, Jan.
Lovely. Cheers, Chris. Take care.
And there you have it. Big thank you to Jan for jumping on this Forest All Over phone show episode. Matt and I will be back after the Brighton game next week for our Monday show. I say our Monday show. Sometimes it's released Tuesday. Sometimes it's released Sunday. Who knows? But we'll be back after the Brighton game anyway. And you can follow us at NFFC All Over on Twitter or at Forest All Over on Instagram. Alternatively, you can go to forestallover.com. We will see you next week after the Brighton game, and hopefully we get a sweet, sweet victory. Sports Social Podcast Network.